Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Well, we're back to Theodosia. What is it, Jeannie, 10,700 miles for this tour?
Yeah, something like that.
So we just clocked over just over 10,000 miles, and here we are in Theodosia once again, getting ready for our summer season, getting property back up and running and back in shape. Thanks for a little help from our friends. Lots to do to get it operational. If anybody wants to come spend a few days and give us a hand, we could use some help. That would be awesome. Other than that, we have a 10-day Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work program starting. And let's see, July the 11th, 11th to the 20th, we'll do a 10-day Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work project. And that will be doing work projects during the day on the property to get it finalized and ready for the summer season. And then we'll step into evening workshops. And Saturday, do Still Point Breathing. So that's a kind of an economy program to come and be at Heartland. And then we've got 5 different intensives. We'll start on July 24th to do a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? July 24th to August 1st. It starts on a Friday. Finishes a week the following Saturday. And then we'll step into a 16-day communication. And that'll go from August 3rd to August 18th. We're going to do a 3-day personal code evaluation training where we'll be teaching people how to interpret and understand the personal code evaluation, which we now have available online. And so that's another new product that we've got available. Then a 16-day Laws of Living intensive and Still Point Breathing. And then Jeannie's doing an 8-day Healing the Whole Woman. You want to talk a little bit about that, Jeannie?
Well, it's going to be from July the 24th or September the 12th to September 19th. It's an 8-day. And a couple of people have talked to me about it, but nobody has signed up. And so I would just like to say, if you're one of those people who's talking about it, saying, well, let's see if it'll happen and then I'll sign up for it. If halfway through the summer, if I don't have anybody signed up for it, I'm canceling it. So ladies, sign up. And it's going to cover a lot of the same things that the 9-day why is. The only difference being that I guess I do more of the codependence, where you do more of the on creating consciously. And it's more from the heart, and it's more, not that yours isn't, but it's just more looking at the emotions and the thoughts behind that and working through some of the issues that a lot of women have been through. Some of the, you know, it's healing the whole woman. We have to heal the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual to be totally healed. And a lot of women that I've talked to have been through some kind of mental and physical abuse and don't feel comfortable talking about it, or they've suppressed it so much that they're pretending like it didn't happen, which was my case. And so it's offering tools to be able to get past even what's there unconsciously that sometimes rules their life. So that's September the 12th through the 19th.
Awesome. So, ladies, you heard it firsthand. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'll wait and see what happens, but I want to do it. And it's the commitment that helps to make it happen. So I think we've actually got at least one person registered for it, Jeannie. So we're rock and roll. All things moving forward. And, of course, the work is about first century Aramaic forgiveness, which has nothing to do with how I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. It's how I reach inside myself and change what's happening inside of me. If I have a capacity for hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, drama, trauma, then if I have and use the tool of forgiveness, then that's going to change. I was just talking to Patrick. We went into town to get some parts for the water system, and Patrick was sharing that he's coming up in 2 years on 20 years of doing 5 worksheets a day. I've been doing it now for almost 18 years since he first came to Heartland, and he was thinking about taking an intermission. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to go for the 20-year mark before I take an intermission. He's going to take a week off. And he said, no, I'm going to continue so that there's somebody here who's got 20 years of 5 worksheets a day. And I suspect Julie's probably got, I don't know, probably 27 or 28 years of that. So it's pretty amazing to watch people do their work and watch the changes that occur. Watch the healing that happens. It's pretty powerful. So we appreciate everybody who participates, and if you have a question or a thought for us, we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. And so, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Neither one. They're all quiet. Several people on the switchboard. So if somebody presses one, you're first in line without waiting.
We so I know you've got
a
question.
Go up.
Oh, good. Let's go for it.
813, you're on the air.
You're cutting in and out. If you can hear me, if you'd hang up and call back in again and push 1 again, it's cutting out. So I think there's a bad connection. So if you could do that, that would be helpful. And as we're waiting for that hand to go back up again, I'm just sitting in front of the building Eternal Support. We just returned from town, got a few groceries, took care of some parts for the heart center or for the water pump system in our house. And I'm sitting with all this beautiful, lush green. We're talking about some heavy-duty rain today. Not sure if we're going to get that for sure or not, but it looks like we might. In fact, they're talking 3 to 6 inches, so that's going to be pretty intense. And other than that, we're just putting buildings together, getting a van unpacked from 10 months of travel. That's about 1,000 miles a month, a little better than 1,000 miles a month for this journey. So we've covered a lot of territory and got to interact with a lot of people. I'm not sure just how many cities we were in, but we covered quite a few.
813 is
30 days. Okay, let's see if we got a better connection this time.
Hello?
Ah, there you go. You're loud and clear now. It's a miracle.
Yeah, I was on my Bluetooth. No, and I said, I got to get off Bluetooth. And then I lost the call. But this is Jeanette from Tampa.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Yes. So Shirley and I are really doing well in terms of getting people to our support group. There's been a little bit of...
I've been hearing reports of you two. They've been good.
Yeah, it's good. I don't really want to talk about that today. There are some things that I think we could use help with. But we have been working on the relationship. The communication worksheet. And
right.
When I got home last night. I have an ex-boyfriend who we've managed to have a platonic relationship that's been very nice. However, and last night we probably had the best communication we both agreed that we ever had. I really don't want to pursue anything more than a platonic relationship with him because there was way too much pressure for me sexually. And we talk about that as well. So when I asked him, would you support me with my anger issues, he says that he doesn't know how to support me. And I didn't know how to work through that with him.
Well, if you've watched the communication workshop, or pardon me, the Healing Through Relationships workshop, a great place to start with supporting someone is just by simply speaking the commitment and then choosing to live the commitment. You know, the tool we give in the Healing Through Relationships, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect.
Okay.
So that would be a good starting point. It's just to have the two of you share that commitment and then work with and cultivate the habit of actually living that way, living in that space of love, gentleness, and respect. If you remember, well, let's see, you weren't at the intensive, so we did but you did the still point breathing, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, yes. So you remember the love exchange. So
yes,
you sit
yes.
Eye to eye. One of you keeps their eyes open, watching for the second person to open their eyes. And the person who's got their eyes closed is going to be the sender, and they go inside, find the deepest, clearest love that they can, and intensify it, and then open their eyes and send it through their eyes to their partner. The second partner just using a hand, just checking out what it is, if anything, they're sending. That practice can open the space for being that really powerful space of support that you're looking for. So there'd be a couple of ideas.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't think about going back to that. I was just working on the communication. We've been working on that sheet yesterday, and it was a little bit confusing even for us when we got to that point. It was a lot of confusion about that, working on that worksheet and some interaction with two people that was not comfortable. But I know that we have a family there. And we're, you know, there for each other. So
well, that's
basically,
awesome.
Yeah, I just hope that people will stay, you know, that they're not frightened, you know, feeling fear and walking away from it. But I think it ended up well. I actually did at the end, I did what I call a spiritual mind treatment. And one person said to me, well, I am so glad you did that, so that we left on a peaceful note, you know, and it did. So anyhow, we'll see how it continues. I'm sure it's going to continue well. But, okay, so for me, I will go back to the relationship worksheet and start working from there and... Well, I think I'll probably have more questions, though, about the communication one. When we get down
sure.
to that point of how can I have somebody support me in this, I don't know what I'm even asking for, what kind of support, you know, other than maybe
well,
my peers.
Again, remember the love exchange. Start
right.
the communication process out with the love exchange and just... You know, if something comes up in you that you're working on communicating about that you can't keep love conscious, active, and present for, and you've got someone there who's just doing that love exchange, just sending that energy to you, literally spraying you with that energy, that can be the thing that melts the traumatic
yeah.
energy in yourself. I mean, that's just so powerful to do. You know, just that simple little tool. And, of course, we do have this summer the you know, Shirley had her turn at the 20-day
yes.
teacher training. You might want to look at the 16-day codependence communication practicum. And in that workshop, we'll stop every time there's an issue that comes up, we'll get two people sitting at the front of the room, hand them each the communication worksheet and support them working through it. And when it falls off the tracks, we'll help them get it back on the track. So that's it's powerful to just watch that occurring.
Great. So, well, that's something I can think about. Is I'm not sure I can work that in. I'm on dialysis, peritoneal dialysis.
Right.
And I'm on the list for the transplant. And they said, you know, like 2 years. Well, May was 2 years being on the list. I was doing dialysis for quite a while before that. And so it's like I need to be near Tampa General Hospital now.
Sure, I understand that. Yeah, well, we hold the space that that transplant comes up by someone who's got a really healthy set of kidneys that's ready to move on delightfully and joyfully and leaves them in love, and that you happen to be the perfect match to receive them. That'd be awesome.
That sounds wonderful. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So I will do what you said and let you know how it turns out.
Awesome. And as questions come up with the communication process, please call and ask them. That's what we're here for.
Okay.
All right,
the
fabulous. Blessings.
The love exchange. Bye-bye.
Yes, that'll be powerful.
Yes, okay, thanks.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. Jeannie, anybody with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's chat room's really quiet and nobody has a hand up. So I'll press one.
I was just saying goodbye to Patrick. I don't know. Patrick might just share with us his 20-year or, 18 years of – I just said that you might call in at some point and share that. I mean, this would be a perfect time, Patrick. I mean, we're he's got to run. Okay. Patrick's on the run. He was helping us with unloading the van this morning and getting the water system operation. We just put a couple of parts on it, so – So 646-200-4169 is the way to reach us, and we would love to hear your sweet voice and give us the opportunity to see if we can answer any questions that you have. Our idea here is to be totally, completely supportive in healing every reality in your mind that is less than love, every frequency in your genes that is less than love, everything in you that doesn't belong. And, of course, the best way we know to determine what doesn't belong in the system is to determine what does. And if you simply hold a newborn child, it's a really easy experiential to go, I got it. This is human life. This is what it's all about. This is how I'm designed to experience life. Now, that can be like telling somebody, you know, that they can fly to the moon and eat green cheese off the moon. If you've never practiced those skills and you've been brought up in a culture that has taught you that the response to people not fulfilling your infantile goals is to do rage, is to do manipulation, intimidation, and all the things that go along with it, or, you know, withdraw, refuse to communicate, ignore, you know, all the crazy things that people do. And as you recognize that those things are not human, then you get the opportunity to change your mind about them, to originate from the level of your spiritual self an awareness of who you are, of how you're designed to function, which, you know, if we go all over the globe and ask people about their newborn experience, holding the newborn child, what's the essence of the newborn? Everybody's answer is exactly the same. Everybody's answer is some variation on the theme of love. It's the only energy that belongs within your structure. And forgiveness is about addressing and removing those energies, if they're in you, that don't belong in you, so that you can be freed of it. So that's our work. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to support you in. And if you've got an issue in your life that you could use some support and healing, we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear from you. How do you do this? What's the process? And, of course, the core of the process is that of first century Aramaic forgiveness. If you haven't touched into that tool as yet, we would invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. In the middle of the page, there's a bullseye. If you click that bullseye, it will open a series of links that will just walk you through the whole forgiveness process. The first link, you can download free chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And you can download the whole book free from the website. Read that over. That's about the forgiveness process. Then the second link is a series of links to different worksheets that we've developed over the years. The top one on the list is the most current worksheet. And there's also a link to a 24-minute PowerPoint presentation, an awesome piece of work that takes 35 years of my work and puts it into 24 minutes. Here's how you go about and deal with the core of the forgiveness process. So we invite you to go to that PowerPoint. You can download it and save it to your computer. You can download the dialogue, the audio part of it. You can download a written copy of that so you can go over it. And as you listen to the PowerPoint and watch the visual, it's just really awesome the way that that Bill Constantino put that together for us. And we certainly appreciate his skills and his willingness for all the hours that he put into helping us to get that up there and on the website, ready to rock and roll. The PowerPoint, you know, for 35 years I taught the core of the Aramaic forgiveness process simply because I knew that it worked. I didn't know how it worked. It took me about 30 or so years to come to understand it, and that 30 years plus the last five of teaching it is summed up in that simple little PowerPoint to just click, 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 goes through the whole process. So we invite you to go to that, download it, have a look at it, or you can actually just click on it and watch it there on the website. And then the next link is to important radio shows, including at least 14 different radio shows where either Dr. Tim Hayes. By the way, I did hear from Tim, and he shared with me that he had texted me. He had taken a vacation for 6 days up to Wisconsin. And, you know, he let us know he wasn't going to be there Friday. And then when he wasn't there Monday, he's like, oh, what's happening? I hope Dr. Tim, I hope everything's cool. And so I called him and just got his voicemail. But he did text me back saying that he's in an area in Wisconsin doing a vacation where he doesn't have much of a cell signal. So that's why he hasn't been on the show at all. It wasn't on. It didn't sound like he's on 6 days of vacation. So we just send him love and blessings and appreciation for all the support that he is, and hope he has an awesome vacation. So there are radio shows where he's walked people through worksheet, Jeannie's walked people through a whole worksheet, I've walked people through a whole worksheet. So you've got at least 14 different sets of custom instructions on here's how you reach into the hidden part of your minds and bring out and remove what never belonged in you. That is every form of hostility or fear, and get free of it. So it's a pretty awesome tool, pretty delightful. And I know if you've lived your life in hostility or fear, it seems like that's impossible. How could you ever do that? I'll just offer, it's possible. Now, do I know anybody doing it perfectly, including myself? No, not suggesting that. But when I look at the life I lived before I started doing this to today, it's night and day. And we get to hear from people all the time when they take that tool and start using it that are just absolutely amazed. And I still, after 35 years of walking people through, you know, the first worksheet that I designed was probably about 35 years ago. And it always still just amazes me to watch what comes up in people when they use that process, when they actually delve in and do the process. So we invite you to do that. Jeannie? Anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up?
No. I wonder if everybody's
taking a nap or something. 646-200-4169 and press 1.
And if I, you know, if you live in a world where you say to yourself, well, I don't know, how does that make sense? And you actually do that, if any part of what I just said doesn't make sense, you're the person I want to talk to.
What your thoughts are, because here's the beauty for me of
your
you and I having
echoing.
A conversation.
That's better.
Is that better?
Yes.
So here's the beauty of you and I having a conversation on the show is there are things that have happened in your life that have empowered you to ask questions that I wouldn't think of in the next probably 10,000 years. And the fact that you've developed the ability to ask that specific and particular question is probably a question that will serve absolutely everybody on the show. So if you would ask that question, even if it seems like, well, that's just such a silly, basic, you know, everybody should know that kind of question, believe me, that's not accurate. Believe me, your question is important and may be the thing that opens a whole new space for everybody who's listening. So we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to have you share with us your thoughts and your questions, and how can we support you? What's next on your agenda? What's up in your face? What are you dealing with? And what doesn't make sense about forgiveness in regard to whatever it is that's going on in your life? That's what we want to know about. And that's how we can best support you. So if you're in the phone queue and you put your hand up, all you have to do is hit 1. That'll put a little hand up in the control panel, and Jeannie will be introducing you by your area code. We would love to hear your thoughts. Beyond that, while we're waiting for that person who is contemplating whether they should put their hand up, I'll just offer that when one really starts, you know, we just heard some questions about responsibility communication. And communication is an interesting dynamic. Most people think that if you're using words, you're communicating. And that's not true. Many people use words for everything but communication. You know, Vladimir Lenin says, change the meaning of a culture's words and you can trick and fool and destroy the whole culture. And when we change the meaning of a word, what happens is people cannot think rationally or logically about whatever that word is because they don't have the right brain cells firing that truly associate with that. So if you think communication is about using words, then you've probably made some mistakes in utilizing communication. And it happens in every arena. You know, we have people out there who think if you're using genitals, you're having sex. And that's a big mistake. That's a big error. That's not true. They call it sex, but it's not what it is. So it's, you know, in so many arenas, and there's so many words that have been confused. We've got a whole culture that thinks that if I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, then I'm forgiving. And it's got nothing to do with forgiveness. And we have a whole culture out there that says, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to put my order into the cosmic gift catalog and tell God what God should do for you today. And it's got nothing to do with prayer. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. And until you get a clear definition and understand what the words meant originally, can't engage in whatever that was. So let's look at communication. What is communication? Well, let's start and look at perception. You'll recall that we've repeated the CIA research on perception that says our minds do not record reality, our minds generate reality. So at every moment of your life, your mind is generating a reality. Believe me, the other 10 people in the room are not experiencing the same reality as you are. You know, if you've ever played the parlor game where you tell a story and you whisper it in somebody's ears and it goes all around the circle and see what it sounds like when it comes out the other end, each person has a totally different reality. So, you know, it starts off with, I threw the yellow socks in the washing machine with detergent and it comes out with, you know, somebody stuck your head in the toilet and washed your hair. You know, I mean, it's just, crazy things happen. So when you realize that your mind is generating a reality and you utilize your words, instead of presuming that somebody else knows what your reality is and what's going on in there, when you use words to accurately describe and transfer the reality that's in your mind intact into another person's mind, then you've got communication happening. Most people use communication for manipulation, control, getting what they want. They use words for that, and they call it communication, but it isn't really communication at all. So you're communicating when you can take the construct in your mind, what your mind has generated, your unique reality, and transfer it intact to another person's mind so that they can understand what it is that's going on inside of you. That's communication. Everything else is a misuse of words, not communication at all. And so starting from that basic premise, then, of course, when you step into responsibility communication, you realize that all the words you're speaking are describing the content of your own mind. They're describing the output of your mind. And so when you use words to explain to someone the output of your mind, what's going on inside of you, then you've got a space where communication starts to happen. Now, the name of the workshop we do in this regard is called Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And you'll notice that most people use words, especially when they're in upset, most people use words for blame, not communication. Well, what do you mean, Michael, they use words for blame? Well, listen to the person who's in upset or disturbance. What do they say? They say, you made me mad. You made me sad. You made me afraid. You hurt me. Well, notice that if somebody has a construct in their minds called mad, sad, afraid, or hurt, they've got a construct in their mind called mad, sad, afraid, or hurt. When one thinks or speaks as though someone else is responsible for what's going on in their minds, then the very deepest part that holds the deepest pains that we most don't want to deal with, we dissociate from and hide away in the depths of the mind. So when I say you made me mad, the truth is, if I'm mad, I've got mad inside of me. The only reason I'm mad is because I've got mad inside of me. Now, my brain, if you happen to be the person that triggers my mad, my brain will make up, will hallucinate a whole reality, a whole construct that says, you see, I see you, I heard what you said, and you made me really mad. So now I've dissociated from the cause inside of me where my mad is, and I'm painting a picture of you out of my mad and believing that you're the cause of my mad. And you'll notice that if you've been through a particular kind of mad, 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. Your mad isn't about anybody else but you, or you're sad or you're glad. Isn't about anybody but you, and doesn't come from anything other than the content of your mind. But if you use projection communication, which is thinking or speaking as though someone outside of you is the cause of something inside of you, then the root of what's inside of you, you have to hide. To keep believing the cause is outside, you have to hide the cause inside. And then the cycle is completed, because once I do that, then my mind has to construct a reality where you're the problem. And, of course, we have a culture that tells me that if that's the case, then you just let that person off the hook. I'll forgive you, and then everything will be cool. And that's one of the biggest frauds and one of the most destructive ideas that's ever happened on planet Earth. Because when I think that forgiveness is about me letting go of you, letting you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, I've buried even deeper what's happening inside of me and dissociated it from it on still another level. And forgiveness in this technology that was presented to us 2,000 years ago in the Aramaic is just absolutely amazing. Forgiveness is how you collapse the projection that it's about somebody else, how you open the space to look into the dissociated piece of your own mind, bring that information or that energy forward, expose it to love and heal. So that's the forgiveness process. That's the healing process. And so Jeannie tells me we have a hand up. Let's say hello to our caller.
We do. It's area code 828. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. It's Terry.
Hey, Terry. Welcome, sir. How do you be? What's exciting?
I'm good. Did you get my message earlier?
Oh, no, I didn't. We've just been kind of running here. You know how it goes when we get back, getting everything ready for the summer. So we've just been on go.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So tell me about your message.
Where are you at right now? What location? I mean, physically, where are you?
I am in Eternal Support. Last night, we couldn't get our water system on in our house, so we're across the street in Eternal Support. It was empty and ready, so we stayed there last night. And Jeannie's over here doing the show, and I'm in the other room.
I like to imagine where you guys are, and then I would so much like to be out there with them getting ready for an intensive. Really a sweet place. Can be a sweet place. There's a whole mix of things going on there, of course. But overall, it's kind of,
everything less than love comes up. That's the whole idea, yes. Well, if you want a picture, it's Jeannie sitting in the front room of Eternal Support right beside the picture window, and I'm in the back bedroom sitting on the bed.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I thought after moving through that huge piece on Sunday that, you know, I'd be good for a few days, right?
Next layer, right?
So, yeah, it came up. It was over. My trigger was going into a store and checking on a delivery, a special order package set that, you know, was supposed to be ready 4 days ago. It wasn't there. And man, my stuff came up. And in fact, I had to tell the guy, I said, my rage and anger is up so much. I'm feeling so much. I may have to step outside just briefly. He's just looking at me like, whoa.
Sounds like it's back to those infantile demands.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted it right. I wanted it when they said, you know. Well, and it's that, but I'm also looking at communicating and the whole aspect of responsibility communication and I described that to a couple of the fellows. It's like, you know, for the longest time, I think I shared with you, I never got past putting it on the shelf part after I get triggered into it, and it took a lot of work to be able to just complete that process of the communications. I've got the responsibility communication sheet up on my screen here. And so I wanted to be able to communicate responsibly to them. But boy, my stuff was up so much. And I expressed that, you know, it's my stuff. And I was really in it. And I didn't know if I could do this right now. And then I just was breathing. He was like, he just kind of stood there and looked, you know, and watched me for a minute. And he says, well, just let me know what you want to do. It's like, cause, you know, it's just so obvious. It's like, he's not.
He didn't have a clue what was going on.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling it at all. And I was. So I was able to breathe, literally stand there and breathe while I was to kind of process this energy, process out my body while I was doing that. He made a couple of suggestions, and I just agreed with it, even though my mind was in total rage and wanted to be spewing and all this. It's just, I was breathing and breathing and breathing. And so he began to work on the solution there while I was actually processing my rage and resentment and anger around this core kind of piece. And
right.
So and then I did walk away and went outside and stood for a bit. And long and short of it is that in holding a space for myself and acknowledging what was going on without using projection communication, you know, and just acknowledging that it was, you know, what was going on was mine. And I reiterated that to him. The result was that it was cleaned up. The mistake that they had made was acknowledged, and they upgraded me, and I got money back. And they're sending me a product out tomorrow.
All right. Nothing like healing.
No. So, And my job was to just stay connected. Stay connected during that process. And
be love, yeah.
Breathe, let me ask the question. That stuff that was coming. Yeah.
Exactly. So go back to the codependence workshop we did 2 weeks ago Friday. And if you remember, we talked about the power person, and we talked about the tuning fork. You know, if I hit a middle C tuning fork on the desk,
yes,
it vibrates, and the second middle C tuning fork starts to vibrate in response. Remember, I drew the picture up on the board of the child and then the power person, the person who wasn't functioning as love. And in the file folder, I had a tuning fork in the power person and then a miniature tuning fork in the child. And the power person goes into their rage and just pours that energy out. And, of course, because of resonance, the child has no possibility but to absorb that energy. So if you think back, and the circumstance was one where, you know, I want what I want when I want it. When you were a kid, do you ever remember having that kind of rage that you were processing in this situation? Do you ever remember having that poured on you by your power person? And in essence, they were like they were a small child stomping their feet saying, I want what I want when I want it. And then just spewing this rage on you. The fact that you genetically received the same tuning fork, the rage tuning fork from power person. And then that was reinforced when you gave up the direct experience of being love for a picture in your mind of who you thought you were supposed to be, which by that time was probably at least in part based in rage. Then when a situation like this comes up, all of that goes into motion. And, I mean, you're standing there with your power person's tuning fork in your hand, and all the spew that you absorb is just ready to come right out. And that's basically what runs most of the world. You know, the stress is up and the chips are down. Virtually everybody does what their power person did to them that they hated the most, because that's the energy they've absorbed. And once that energy is triggered into action, they have no clue how to do what you just did. And that was to be responsible for it, to breathe through it, and to do some forgiveness in the process. But just think back to, can you remember being a child and having your power person spew that out on you?
Well, you know, the scenario that comes into mind is one that was, it was just the whole environment was filled with rage and wasn't necessarily directed at one person. It was directed at the whole family unit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was in that moment, I remember I was about 6 years old, that I was able to completely dissociate from my feelings. And that it was just like I was there and aware, conscious of everything that was going on without any emotion. And later on, that was diagnosed by, quote, unquote, a guy when I was in a detox ward, he decided that one of the counselors, he labeled me as a sociopath. And I was like, I thought, well, that's interesting. And I didn't know what the definition of a sociopath was. And so I went and looked it up, and there was a person that, the definition I remember vaguely, is someone who resents authority. So I thought, check that box, you know. And then, it was someone who would, you know, could do things in an emotionally detached way without feeling remorse or guilt around any resulting consequences from that behavior. And I thought, well, I can check that box. And it was the beginning, of course, that I was in kind of a big healing crisis at that point. It was kind of the beginning point. I had a long way to go to get where I'm at today from there, but it made an impression on me, and it's connected to that. And beyond that, I don't have any memories, conscious memories of what was going on, even though I know that there was some other horrendous stuff going on, you know, the previous 6 years.
Right. So my input would be that at that stage, and it's the difference between dissociation that we talk about when people deny, dissociate, project, and disassociation being a different thing. So when I'm in denial, you know, I talk about you as the cause of my anger, then I hide the cause of my anger from myself. But then a child who's been through 6 years of abuse finally comes to the point where they disassociate altogether. It's just too painful to be here and feel. And so there's disassociation. And then, so now the sociopath basically is someone who has no access to feelings because they've totally disassociated. So there's no conscience about what they do. There's no remorse. There's no, you know, it's just like an automaton. My power person, you know, when the stress was up and the chips are down, my power person punched somebody in the mouth and beat them to a pulp. So here I am 30 years later, and I punch somebody in the mouth and beat them to a pulp. And I have no feeling or remorse whatsoever because I've disassociated from that part of me totally. And as you do the forgiveness process, you bring that disassociated content forward. You're able to feel that, which is basically what you called me about the other day, what was up in your face the other day with that major process that you were going through. And you come back into association with that, with the ability to feel it, only now the ability to feel it consciously and to process through it. And that's like a monumental step forward. That's awesome.
Ooh, yeah. I'm getting chills all over me. Just taking that
monumental. Out. Yeah.
That's pretty the awesome. Insight that came... Yeah, the insight that came years later was that not only did in that massive disassociation that occurred at that point, and there was and another really violent, bloody episode that I had not thought of in a long time popped up. So we're talking about this, and it occurred within just a 2 week period of that, where my dad drugged this 18-year-old boy up the yard, just beaten into a, literally to a pulp, and the law came and got, and it was just, you know, they said that if the kid hadn't have been 18, you know, they'd have put my dad away for a long time. So that occurred within a 2 week time frame of the next incident, where I totally disassociated from my feelings. And what was interesting was that I learned how to, it was like I had created a circuit breaker in me. Or a switch where I could turn that off and on at will. And I don't know that it was so much at will or whatever, but in times where I was contemplating or getting ready to do something that would be considered criminal in society, I could flip that switch and there was no emotion to it. And later on in recovery, as I was doing, you know, my inventories and looking at this kind of stuff, started digging into it, and especially I got to what I call Recovery 201. I got into the why again work. I was telling my guys, it's like, I'm trying to get you to up speed so we can roll you into what I call Recovery 201. Was that I saw that, I completely understood on an experiential level how people are capable of committing murder because of this trauma and this dissociation that leads to the disassociation and the ability to just completely suppress any human feelings of love or connectedness, then anything's open. You can do, you know, you're an automaton, exactly what you said, functioning as an automaton and capable of anything.
Well, and more particularly capable of anything that's structured within carbon-based memory. By any of the generations,
yeah.
If anything comes forward, it doesn't matter what it is, anything that comes forward will just run through the system and run the system because there is no function of being. And the function of being is to determine goals and to make choices and to feel from being what behaviors are appropriate and inappropriate. And so cut off from that system, whatever structure, you know, you look at these kids in Africa that are kidnapped and they're trained to kill and you know, and they just do it with no feeling because they're totally disassociated. And until you can bring that person back into contact with that, and when it happens, it's big time stuff. I mean, that's like
you know, crazy time, going off the rails sort of stuff. And that's what we're here to support, opening to free people of that. Yeah, you know, some people have referred to the Wigan work as recovery on steroids.
Yeah, there you go.
So, or shadow work on steroids, to really be able to grasp that shadow aspect and move through it consciously, purposely. So that's pretty awesome, sir. Congratulations. That's just,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and it's all, you know, being experienced from a totally different perspective and awareness.
Yes. I hear it loud and clear, and I am in awe of it happening.
Yeah, so thank you. And so you'll hear that message now. Now you'll understand what's behind it. And I did have another question in relation to responsibility and communication and looking at some things. Do we have time for that?
Let me just look at the clock. By the way, before you yes, we do. Before you do that, just one other thought, and that is that as you are able to grasp and take hold of deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper hidden parts of the mind and those experiences that are generational, you open the energy window. There's where the big, to me, the big juicy reward is for doing your work, because you not only open that part of your mind for your healing, but for every person in your bloodline and every person on the planet that has the same issues. You've literally opened an energy window. You go back and hear Yeshua saying, I've opened a door wide, nobody can close it. It's like he left it open so wide, nobody could close it. And we're just now, you know, after 35 years of working with the Aramaic, really starting or moving to a level of understanding that, what that open door means, and starting to approach being able to push it open more and more and more on a planetary scale.
Whoa,
so thanks for being on the team to do it.
Yes, that was huge opening of the door there.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. So,
and
what was your
like,
question about communication? Oh, go ahead.
So, well, and it's like really, I get to the point where, what else is left? What is there left to do? I mean, it's either this or nothing. It's like the door is open. The cat's out of the bag, if they say, or the, you know, it's on. So
I got it.
Going
that's
back
it.
In the box. Yeah. So, and there, I attracted a certain individual, like some other individuals, into my life and around certain agreements and arrangements, and said, you know, well, we'll take a look at this, and I'm willing to try this for 30 days. And of course, this person, wow, had the ability to break off some resonance that, you know, I resonated with some big stuff, sugar, some stuff, healed through some wonderful things. And got to a point where, okay, it's to me, it's a subtle line, and I wanted to be clear on what's going on with me, because I know that my mind will hide things from me, and that's a important aspect of having partners, mentors, teachers, trainers, and people like you in my life, so you guys can help me to see, you know, what I'm not looking at. So I had some fear and some sadness and some guilt coming up and sharing with this person that, you know, this situation just isn't working out. You know, it's not really a match here. That was left.
Breathe. Are you breathing? Go for it.
Yeah, so what it is I want to be clear about is that I'm not just running someone off or throwing someone out of my life to avoid looking at something, which I don't think is the case. And I have to listen to those words. What does that mean in this case? Am I just being responsible and holding this person accountable? Well, the door has been open for this person to step in and do a lot of things, and and they just expressed an interest. They're just not really interested in that. They're not really interested in healing. It's not my job to make them drink the water either. You know what I'm saying? It's like they know they've been led to the trough. They know where the water is, and it's okay. There's lots of ways to mountaintop and all. And if that, you know, if they're choosing to not engage in that type of activity, then I feel like there's really, well, my thought is that, okay, so let me rephrase a little bit. So when the resonance is no longer there, and just then stuff doesn't show up, is my understanding. Those things, or that might show up, but I'm not at the effect of it. The resonance, all right. So the same situation can show up, and there's no resonance, and there's no relation to maybe say hostility or fear or anger or something like that. Then that hostility, fear, anger doesn't show up. So now with some folks, they'll come close, and when I've been perceiving myself as doing my work and all, and they find, you know, kind of engage into the energy, then they just take off and leave because they have no interest in it. You understand what I'm saying about that? So, what I have always taken the position to where I would hang in there till the very end, no matter what was going on, in a codependent kind of way, as opposed to saying, "Hey, you know what? This just isn't working, and there's no resonance that I have as far as a reason to keep you around, you know, for a job or something like that." Am I making any sense around this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that your first words when you were started talking about it was, "Well, it's not about this," I'd suggest, and I don't remember exactly what words you used, but I do a few worksheets around that because obviously they're the brain cells firing under the surface, and so there may be a piece of that involved in it, and to get clear, I'd do some worksheets on that part of the process.
On the part that I put out there that it's not about this.
Yeah, it's not about this. You know, if that wasn't firing somewhere in brain cells. Say it again?
Okay. I can go back and listen to a radio show and pick up where I said it's not about this, and then that would have give me the topics for my worksheet.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, you never speak out of brain cells that aren't firing, so when I say it's not about this, it's usually an indicator there's some denial, and there's at least some of that under the surface, and that may not be the whole thing, but if it's any of it's there, I want to clean it out so I'm not being biased by my own unconscious dynamics.
Gotcha. Yes. That's exactly what I was at. I'm not being biased.
All right, cool.
By my
unconscious. Awesome. All right, well, we're down to the last few seconds, so I need to close the show up, but I'd be just delighted to continue the conversation tomorrow, Terry, if there's more to chat about. That's awesome insight, awesome material for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're doing our group tonight, so I'll let you know about that too, okay?
Okay, so down in Henderson at the Namaste Center, right? Pardon me, no, it's Rich's office, Dr. Rich in Asheville tonight. Asheville, North Carolina, support group. Information's on the website. Have a great day. Blessings. Bye-bye.